CDs. And he goes to the church where Chris and I attend down in Greenville. And I told him, I told him the same thing that I told you all. And he said, you know, me too. I'd rather preach than to play my trumpet. And I was thinking, this guy's making CDs. And he's telling me this. Well, maybe I should pick up the trumpet again. But, well, anyways, Genesis chapter 19. But before we begin reading there, we'll begin reading in Genesis 18, verse 20. Genesis 18, starting in verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Genesis chapter 19, verse 15, and we'll pick up there. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. And he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And the last verse that we'll read. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Father, I ask that the preaching of your word tonight from this pulpit would be honoring to your name, that it would be faithful to the word which you have given us here in Genesis. I pray that each listener here tonight would be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. And as even you said, that the seed of your word meets many different kinds of soils in the hearts of men. And I ask that the soil of the hearts of each one sitting here would be ground that is open to receiving the word, that it may grow and bear fruit. And I ask these things in your son's name. Amen. Many times throughout the Christian life, we wonder if God is really doing the right thing. Is God actually going to do the right thing? What's the first word that you think of when you read of Sodom and Gomorrah? Probably something like judgment, or punishment, or God's wrath. And certainly, that is present in this text. The message tonight and the theme of this message is the judge of all the earth, as Abraham referred to God in Genesis 18:25. The judge of all the earth, he will do right. You know, one of my biggest fears or one of my biggest concerns for you tonight, I think one of the biggest dangers is to start reading about Sodom and Gomorrah and immediately turn off the applicability switch in your own mind. Oh, that's about those people who continually rejected God. And that's not me. Well, that might be true. But we're looking tonight at a man who was called righteous by Peter in 2 Peter 2. We're looking at a man whose life was vexed from day to day. And he was living in a wicked world, kind of like we are today. Tonight, I want you to see that the judge of all the earth will do right in every way possible. First of all, God is merciful to the lingerer. Second, he is merciful to the pleader, to the persistent. And third, he reserves judgment for the unjust. Number one, God is merciful to the lingerer. In Genesis chapters 13 and 14, we read about Lot's background. He actually was with Abraham a lot longer than you might think. If you remember, Abraham and Lot's men had a conflict, and so they decided to part ways. And Abraham let Lot choose which land he would depart to. And Lot chose the better land. Would you go to Genesis chapter 14, verse 12? Genesis 14, verse 12 says, "And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed." And you're saying, what in the world's going on? Who took Lot? See, Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah much before chapter 19. Lot had chosen to live there much before that. And actually, the history behind Sodom and Gomorrah is this. Lot was living there when the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Bela, which is called Zoar, which we read about, they all united together. And they fought a battle against a host of other kings, and Sodom and Gomorrah and the king of Bela lost. And Lot was taken captive, as chapter 14, verse 12 says. Abraham gathered his men, and they fought with the men who had taken Lot. They got him back. Abraham gave Lot back to the king of Sodom. And in chapter 19, at the very beginning verse 1, we find Lot still in Sodom. Lot was lingering. Lot was lingering in a place where he had no business of being. Lot chose Sodom, but not only did he choose it, he was rescued and returned back. And not only that, but he continued to linger. The angels hastened Lot in chapter 19, verse 15. It says, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." Now answer this in your mind. If there are some angels telling you to leave a city which is going to be destroyed, What is your first response? Well, I'm gone. I'm leaving. If this place is going up in flames, I don't want to go up in flames, so I'm going to leave. But what's verse 16 say? And while he, what's the word there? Lingered. What's wrong with him? Is he not like us? Or is he much like us? You see, Lot lingered in Sodom because of his love for the world. And apart from that, he just didn't see the urgency of the angel's warning. And you say, well, I don't understand well how this is God always doing the right thing. Let me tell you how God always does the right thing, because he has mercy on the lingerer. Look at verse 16 again. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being what unto him? Merciful. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. If you think that Lot heard the warning and left of his own will, that's not accurate. God saved him. Actually, Lot should have been destroyed in the city of Sodom because there were not 10 righteous men in the city. That's why God ultimately destroyed Sodom. He did not have to save Lot. In fact, he didn't even have to save his wife and daughters, his wife who later turned into a pillar of salt because she disobeyed the Lord's command. Lot did not save himself. And let me bring this right home. When you were saved, you didn't save yourself either. I think of the time I was 4 years old, sitting in the back of an old Buick, riding to go sell my uncle's van, and I was sitting in the back seat of this car with my mom, and for some reason, and I don't know why besides God's mercy, I just started thinking about God and who he is. And I just remember my mom explaining to me after I'd asked her about salvation, she said, she quoted John 3:16. And I just remember in my head picturing Jesus Christ with an open hand extending that to me. And on March 27th, 1999, God rescued me. He saved me. And I was brought to tears one day when I was praying this semester that God would save me. He will always do the right thing. And sometimes doing the right thing does not always mean judgment. It will later on. But God doing the right things means mercy on those who are lingering. And that applies to each of us sitting here or standing here today. Not just for our salvation once and for all, but for forgiveness from sin. For living like the world, for being reconciled with Christ. Lot was a righteous man. As far as we know it, this was not his salvation. This was him simply being rescued. The judge of the earth, God, will always do what is right. So how do you respond to his mercy? Are you a listener or are you a lingerer? When God extends his hand to you, his hand of mercy, his hand of compassion, do you wait around? Is it a matter of choosing priorities, placing God at the top, over the world, over the lusts of the flesh? Or are you just quick to accept his hand of mercy and be delivered? Second, God is merciful to the persistent. And we see that in chapter 19, verse 17, the same chapter, which says, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Remember that. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, verse 20, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. Quite honestly, Lot offered some pitiful excuses, but he was persistent. There's this thing that we do, you and I, when we are confronted with obeying God or not obeying God. We bring everything right to here, and we begin to rationalize. We begin to work the numbers, so to speak. We begin to play with the balance and try to justify what we're doing before God. Would you look at the first excuse that Lot offered? Verse 20, he says, I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. That's a lack of faith. If God wants you to go there, he'll provide for you. He'll keep you safe. What do you mean you're going to die? God saved you in the first place. He was the one who grabbed your hand and the hand of your wife and your daughters, and he pulled you away from there. What are you doing? It's a lack of faith. But he rationalized it by saying it's too far away, or maybe some evil is going to take hold of me and I'm just going to die on the way to the mountain which you want me to go to. And so the second excuse that he makes is there's a city that is much closer. And the name of that city was called Zor. Do you know why? Because Zor means it is a little one. And perhaps another aspect of Lot's rationalizing was that the city was so small and therefore their sin was too. Oh, God, just let me flee to that city. It's not as big as Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that the Lord intended to destroy Zor because it said that he intended to destroy all the cities of the plain. Also, the king of Zor united with the king of Sodom and Gomorrah in chapter 14. There were close ties there. But Lot kept rationalizing things in his mind. It's kind of like when you're little, or at least when I was little, I would try to think of ways I could maybe play video games or watch TV and get more privileged time. And so, you know, we would try to come up with some bartering system, and oftentimes our parents would just say, no, you just need to obey. Oh, that's a bummer. That's a big bummer. You mean I can't think my way through this? I can't rationalize my way through this? Not necessarily, but the key is here with Lot, even though his rationalizing and his thought process was not always pleasing to God, God allowed it because he was persistent. How does this relate to God doing the right thing? Because even though Lot did not deserve to flee to the little city called Zor, God let him do it because he had mercy on him. Look at verse 25, please. And he, that is God, overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The third way that God has always done right and always will, and in the case of Lot, was just, is that he brought vengeance upon the unjust. And maybe you're saying, what, that doesn't seem like God's doing the right thing. You said that God would do the right thing. So he shows mercy twice, and then he shows vengeance and wrath. You know something? God doing the right thing does not always mean the best thing for us. God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter where you fall, whether you're a lover of Sodom and Gomorrah or whether you're just like Lot, a compromiser. God will distinguish between you. And he'll have mercy upon whom you'll have mercy. God brought vengeance upon the unjust. Perhaps you're thinking, Genesis chapter 19, this is written how many thousands of years ago? I just don't know if that's relevant to me. At least let it show up in the New Testament. Well, good news, it does. 2 Peter, would you go there with me? 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. Second Peter 2:6, it says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them what? An ensample, which means an illustration, a warning for those that should live ungodly thereafter. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It does appear in the New Testament, and actually it appears in Jude as well. And I won't have you go there for the sake of time, but I'm saying to you that even Jesus himself spoke of Sodom and Gomorrah as a warning to those who would not hear his words. If it's relevant enough for God to quote it, Jesus Christ, and is relevant for me and you. So God brought vengeance upon the unjust. Three ways that God always will do right. He had mercy on the lingerer. He had mercy on the persistent, even though he was rationalizing. And as we just looked at, he brought vengeance upon the unjust. God will always do the right thing. In 1829, George Wilson and his friend, his partner, robbed a train. They wanted to get the money from it, but they were caught before they could do so. The president at the time was Andrew Jackson. He's the only one who can offer a pardon to get them out of their sentence. And so George Wilson and his friend were charged with six offenses. The first one was the most important one, and that is death. The reason? Because they put the train driver's life in jeopardy. And so George Wilson's friend was executed before he was. And before George Wilson could be executed, some very influential friends of his spoke with Andrew Jackson and with government officials, and President Andrew Jackson offered a pardon to George Wilson, and all he had to do was serve some time in jail, but he could live. George Wilson refused the pardon. And he was put to death that same year. The court said, we cannot force this pardon upon him. It is his choice to accept it. Abraham pled for Lot indirectly. He pled for righteous men to be saved. Abraham begged God to save those who were just out of the city of Sodom and the city of Gomorrah. But it was up to Lot to respond to God doing the right thing. And the same thing is applicable to us. God offers everyone a pardon for salvation if they only accept it. But ultimately, it's their choice. It's your choice. Not only for salvation, but for reconciliation. And it's up to you whether you want to live for Christ or whether you want to abandon him, or whether you want to disobey him. The pardon is there. God will always do what is right. And I'm going to ask you, will you do the right thing in accepting his pardon of mercy? Let's pray.